Hey, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. You know, when you think about it, all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is just packed full of so much good material in the Bible. Some of you have favorites that you like to go to and study. Some of you like to look at the creation. Some of you like to spend time maybe on prophecy and the book of Revelation and some of the prophets in the Old Testament. Just depends on what you're taking. There's so much there, but we know as the Bible's been given to us, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a book about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see Christ in every book of the Bible, and there's a message about the Lord Jesus in every book of the Bible. I was sitting here thinking on the front row as we're getting ready to come up to preach. I thought, you know what? We've just been in the book of Amos on Sunday school, studying about the minor prophets. Wednesday night, we're in a series on the book of Romans, and we just did Romans chapter 14 last Wednesday night, and what a great, rich book that is, the book of Romans. But I can't think of anywhere else in the Bible that would be a better fit of a tool that you can take and use and apply. Is it good to know Bible prophecy? Yes. Is it good to understand all about creation and how God brought everything into existence? Yes. Is it good to understand the prison epistle? Yes. But here in Ephesians 6 is the warfare of a spirit-filled believer. The warfare of a spirit-filled believer. If you'll take Ephesians 6 to heart and apply it and use it, it will help you in your everyday battle of the things that you're faced with day to day in the Christian life. And because whether or not you realize it or not, the Bible says that we're in a warfare. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And, you know, and I oftentimes think, I never know when I come to church into the house of the Lord, you know, who is here that may not be saved, not yet a believer. Because I know most everyone here, week in and week out, are saved. You're believers. They're born again, saved by the blood of Christ. But you never know on any given Sunday who's here that may not be saved. So we try to make sure that somebody that here, that they have that opportunity, that they understand today that they too can be a believer. They too, as back to what Ron was singing about a moment ago, it is important in what you believe in. What do you believe in? And some, you know, we as Christians, we as believers believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you have bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've confessed with your mouth that you're a sinner and you recognize that you're a sinner and we cannot get to heaven on our own. And we've asked God to forgive us of our sin and we've repented of our sin and we got saved. It's the greatest day in all your life is the day you got saved, the day you got born again, the day you came to know Christ and put your faith and your belief and your trust in Him whenever that was. Could have been as a child, could have been as an adult, could have been 2 weeks ago, don't know. But if you're here today and you're not saved, I'd encourage you to open your heart and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in His death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Being saved is important. Being saved. I don't know about you. Nita and I had a great time last week. Normally our children, our grandchildren that come up from Florida or North Carolina once or twice, maybe a year if we're lucky. And but they weren't coming up this summer. They were staying in Florida, my oldest son. And so Nita and I decided we're going to take a few days and head down there to see the kids and the grandkids. They grow up way too fast. We have 8 grandchildren, 4 boys, 4 girls, and down in Florida, Riley's now 14, Addison, I think, is 12, and Kyler is 9, and they're growing up way too fast, and they're involved in all kinds of school programs and sports programs and coming and going, busy lives, and so it's great to be able to go down and see them. But I got to tell you, and my hat goes out to, and my heart goes out to all of you that have places in Florida. God bless you. But it was like an oven down there last week, and it was like 98. And I think about God. Thank you that I'm not that I am saved, and I am not on my way to hell. And I'm not saying Florida is hell, but I'm just saying if hell is hot, you know, I understand that people go to Arizona and say it's hot or hot in July. I heard somebody say today they went to Arizona in July, and it gets hot in Arizona in July, and they say, well, it's a dry heat. It's still heat. So my son Chad says, Dad, you just got to get used to it. I said, well, I don't know if I ever get used to it. I mean, it's 98 with a heat index of 108 or 110 every day. And you open the door and it's like takes your breath away. It's like, and then the boys decide they want to go golfing at 3:15 in the afternoon when it's 98 degrees. So being a good father to go with my sons and grandson, I decided to go along with them and sweat like the rest of them. But anyway, you know, so when you think about the warfare of the believer, when you look at Ephesians 6, we had a great time. It's great to get back home. And we had a great time down there, and it's always great to be with family and the kids and the grandkids. You know, if you really think about it, the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you? Family, friends, people you know, people that are saved. Everything else is staying here. Your careers, your jobs, your money, your houses, your cars, your whatever possessions you have along the way, all stays. Most important thing, God created the family, and that is so important. And created the church, created government too, and ordained all three of those institutions and put his blessings and direction upon them. But in Ephesians 6, we see here for the believer that there's a warfare going on, and Paul addresses it. There's a warfare of a spirit-filled believer. And today, if you're saved, you're born again, you know him, you're on your way to heaven, you know that, there's no doubt about it, and you're a spirit-filled believer. You need to understand today there's still a warfare and a battle going on, and Paul gives some very specific instructions of how you and I can live our lives day by day and fight this battle. So the true believer in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 lives a Holy Spirit-controlled life. Our lives every day as Christians should be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And I can be, and you and I can be sure that we will have spiritual battles or warfare, Paul calls it, along the way. Paul warns about this battle, and then he gives you and I instructions of how to win and how to conquer that and how to be victorious in your daily living as you fight these warfare battles. God gives the believer enough armor to combat it and thwart off the adversary. And then Paul teaches you and I the basic truths here in Ephesians 6 regarding the believer's necessary spiritual preparation, as well as truths regarding the enemy and the enemy's battle plan and how to win the victory. It's good to know you need to have a battle plan. You need to have a battle strategy. You need to be prepared. You need to know that every day when you get up, you need to be armored and ready to go to fight whatever it is that's going to be thrown at you. Paul gives us basically six necessary pieces of spiritual armor here, and with which God then equips his children to resist and then to overcome the attacks that Satan will throw your way. So let's look at some of this in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice that doesn't say in our might or in our belly, but in the power of his might as a spirit-filled Christian. And then verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We'll come back and break this apart here in a moment. He said in verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Boy, I tell you what, it seems like it's becoming more and more prevalent every day as we go along in this world that we live in. He says in verse 13, "Wherefore then, take unto you the whole armor of God," not part of it, all of it, the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Well, when's the evil day? You look at it today, you know, I said in Sunday school, the days we live in are growing more and more wicked, more and more evil, more and more corrupt. And so the battle is principality against principality, is spiritual against spiritual. There's a warfare going on. So he says, in the evil day. And then having done all to stand, having done all, to stand. And then verse 14, "Stand therefore." Now he breaks it down for us. "Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all," kind of like a separation here in verse 16, "taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts, and peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. What a powerful part of Scripture right here. Let's go back to that verse 10 when he says, be strong in the Lord, in verse 10, and in the power of his might. Philippians 4 and verse 13, and then 2 Timothy 2:1, Satan's power over Christians is already broken, and a great war is won through Christ, through the crucifixion, through the resurrection. I love what those songs talked about, what God has done, what Christ has done, what has already been accomplished, and the cross defeated Satan himself and the power of his resurrection, which conquered then the power of sin and death. However, here in on earth in this life, the battles go on. Regularly go on. God's power, you and I need, the strength of the Holy Spirit and the force of biblical truth are required for you and I to have a victory. You know, when you and I get saved, our soul and our spirit is saved, and we're converted to Christ. When you bow your knee to Christ, you're born again, and you receive a new spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and he converts your soul. But the body that we're in is not yet saved. So we're still living in this flesh. We're still living in this world. And the Bible says this world, Satan goes to and fro seeking whom he can devour. To and fro, seeking whom he can devour. And Satan is powerful, and he goes around, and he is after anything that seeks out God and seeks out Christ and seeks out the truth. And Satan would love to destroy God and destroy the works of the Bible and definitely the believers. So you and I need to be wise to what he does. And verse 11, so that's why Paul said this in verse 11, you need the whole armor. You got to put it all on. You got to put on all the armor, put on the whole armor, put on. You know what this idea of putting on means? It's an idea that conveys permanence, indicating the armor should be a Christian's sustained and lifelong armor. It's not something you just put on. If you're having a bad day and something's not going right and you say, God, I remember that over in Ephesians 6, I need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to get up and strap it on every day when you get up and ready to go day by day by day for protection. Put on the whole armor of God every day, every morning, as soon as you get up and ready to go. When you think about it here, Paul uses the common armor that's worn by the Roman soldiers as an analogy here of the believer's spiritual defense, and affirms his necessity as one to hold his position because you don't know what the attack's going to be for that day. If you get up and you're not armored, you're not ready, you're not prepared, and the attack comes, you know, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish. And so the attacks are going to come. You say, well, I haven't been attacked yet. Wait, your number's coming probably, I'm sure. But if you decide you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to live for him, you're going to read your Bible, you're going to pray, you're going to be a dedicated Christian, you need to be prepared because you need to put on the whole armor of God. And to realize here that he says here that he uses this Roman analogy. Now the wiles, look at it in verse 11. He uses this word, the wiles of the devil. You know what that means, that word wiles? You might want to circle in your Bible. It just means the schemes of the devil. It carries the idea of a cleverness or a craftiness or a cunning or a deception. And Satan's schemes are propagated throughout the evil world system over which he rules and are carried out by a demonic host that supports what he's doing. The wiles, the schemes of the devil. If you think that you can outsmart the devil, you cannot on your own, but you can through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you got to realize, he was the He was the best of the angelic hosts. I'd encourage you to go back in Isaiah and read it. Lucifer was the best of the best. He was, but he decided he wanted to be as all-powerful like God, and he desired the worship that God had. And God cast him out of heaven over in the book of Isaiah. Spells it out very clearly. Satan was cast out of heaven. And all the demonic hosts that followed him after that followed him. So he is powerful, more powerful than what you and I. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fight off the wiles, his schemes. And the wiles here is all-inclusive, encompassing every sin, immoral practice, false theology, false religion, worldly enticements. In other words, he knows where your strengths are at, and he knows where your weaknesses are at. He know what might trip you up won't trip another person up, and so he's very smart to what's going on and what it's going to take to attack you. The devil here, the Bible refers to him as in Ezekiel chapter 28 as the anointed cherub. And the ruler in Luke chapter 11 and verse 15, he's referred to as the ruler of demons. You say, well, is demons real? Yes, there are demoniac spirits. They're very much real. Different parts of the world, I think you can sense and know and be aware of demoniac spirits around us. That's one of the things we're not tuned into like we should be, that we live in a spirit world. I often think about many times on our prayer sheet, what we focus on our prayer sheet are what the physical needs of the flesh are. But I often think what is probably more important are what are the spiritual needs that should go on that prayer sheet for all of us in our prayer life, spiritually. Because the Bible talks about here, spiritual principality against, says here, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritually. So the devil is the ruler of demons, the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he's the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2. The demoniac spirit. The Bible depicts Satan as opposing the work of God. So if you think about this, whatever God chooses and to be good and to create and to put in place, Satan tries to oppose that. Anything to do with creation, anything to do with getting saved, anything to do with obeying the Bible, anything to do with supporting the family. Satan is out to destroy anything that God stands for. And so when you look at it here, it's so important in the Bible that the Bible depicts Satan as opposing God's work and perverting God's word and hindering God's and holding the world, hindering the gospel and snaring the righteous and holding the world in his power. You need to keep in mind, we live in a depraved world. We live in an evil, corrupt society. We live in a world which is continually, progressively get. Why is that so? Because this world is Satan's world, and the prince and power of the air, and he goes up and down the land to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. He's very much active. Notice in verse 12, and he says in verse 12, we wrestle. I remember that back in junior high school, I was involved in wrestling, and it was always interesting to go and wrestling matches and that. But here, this is talking about a spiritual. This is really here, this wrestle, which is really a hand-to-hand combat. You are in a hand-to-hand combat with Satan, the most powerful creation outside of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you cannot win on your own. This involves trickery and deception when he attacks, and righteousness and truth is what we fight him with, and Satan's forces are highly structured for the most destructive purposes. I'll never forget the first day, first chapel service, that I think we were in Bible college and sitting there, and the chapel was packed, and all these seminary students sat there, and Dr. Odom said, take a look at the person on the right. Take a look at the person on the left. Some of you 4 years from now will not be here. You're going to quit. Not only are you going to quit, some of you probably will give up and not even be involved in Christianity. I'm sitting there. I'm 19 years old at that time. I'm sitting there and I'm analyzing that and I'm thinking, whoa. I look to my right, I look to my left, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know about them, but I can only speak for myself. I will not quit, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how discouraging it gets. and there are days you feel like quitting. And maybe you get a day where you feel like that, and you get discouraged, or you get depressed, or you get something so monumental you don't feel like you can handle it. God is always there to help you get through that. Satan loves to come after you and attack. And so he says here, we wrestle. It says here, not against flesh and blood, but against what? Here's where the wrestling match, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not against flesh and blood, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. This refers to the most depraved abominations, or the extreme sexual perversions, or the occultism, or satanic worship. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm blown away sometimes by what I see and what I hear. Anymore, I'm getting to the point where I say to myself, do I really want to listen to the news? At the same time, I got one ear to current events, trying to listen to what's going on with Israel, what's going on in our world that we live in, what's going on in our political system and that area there. Stay tuned a little bit, but I'm telling you, we got battles out there, issues are going on, and sometimes it feels like, seems like, Satan is winning the battle. Never have I seen more things on sexual perversion than I have here in this last 10 years. It's bad and getting worse. And so when you think about it, Satan is on the loose. Satan is powerful. Satan's coming after families, and he's coming after the church, and he's coming after government, and he's set out to try to destroy all three if he can. Powerful, principality against principality. So when you think about it, so therefore, he says in verse 13, notice this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. You better armor up. You better strap on. You better get ready. Notice what he does here. We need all of God's spiritual armor, living by obedience and putting it on. And notice the first three pieces of armor were worn continually in verse 14 and verse 15. These pieces of armor were worn continually on the battlefield. Think about it. The girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes and the boots. Notice what he says there in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Think about that. Your loins girt about with truth. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then thirdly, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So here's three weapons in our warfare, if you think about it, and truth. Your loins girt about with truth. I don't know about you. I oftentimes wonder today, how do you know what is truth? How do you even know what to believe today? You say, well, we have the internet. Surely that's, yeah, right. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you read. Be careful. You don't know. How do you know what's truth? How do you know what's truthful? I'm blown away by how much lying goes on, and how much debauchery goes on, and how much wickedness goes on, and how much evil. And I think about my wife and I, look, you just got to understand the depravity of man. How bad can it get? Well, it can get worse, folks. It can get a lot worse from here. So beware, be wise, be careful, girdle yourself up, put on the breastplate, put on the shoes and the boots. In other words, the truth. How do you know the truth? The truth of the Word of God. And you need to stay true and tuned into the Bible. And then putting on that breastplate of righteousness. You and I have no righteousness on our own. Without God's righteousness, our righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need that breastplate of righteousness, and then shoes or boot, your feet here shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As the gospel goes forth, it's the, you know, when will the rapture take place? When that last person gets saved. I don't know when that is. I pray it'll be today. I pray that it'll happen today. The Lord will come back, the rapture will come back, and then we're out of here. Exiting, and we're gone. But we're not sure when that's going to happen. So you put on these three pieces of armor. And you notice in Roman days, these three purses, the girdle, the breastplate, the shoes, the boots, were worn continually on the battlefield. But then look at the last three pieces here in verse 16 and verse 17. And that is the shield, the helmet, and the sword. So when you look at it here in verse 16, he said, and above all, I always like it in Scripture when you come along where it'll say in verse 10, finally. And then you get down here, and it'll say, above all, now it's kind of like, you know, those three things are important on the girdle, the breastplates, the shoes, and the feet. But above that, taking the shield of faith. wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword, the two-edged sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible says the sword, the Word of God, is sharper than a two-edged sword. So here's what you need on the last three. As you armor up on the first one, the girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes, the boots, the feet, whatever, you need a shield. And what does he say that shield is above all? You take the shield of faith. How's your faith today? You say, well, I'm saved. That's great. How's your faith today? You know, your faith sometimes will have to get tested when you're going through a trial or a testing, or you're put to the fire, or you're put to a challenge. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as your faith is grounded in the Word of God, your faith will remain strong. Sometimes it's maybe the test of our trials. And maybe you pass a trial and Satan says, well, that didn't work so good, so I'm going to up the ante a little bit and I'm going to give you a little bit harder trial. How's your faith? You need that faith, a strong faith that no matter what, you will endure to the very end. I remember my conversation with Leo Thorsness, who spent as a POW at the Hanoi Hilton. Same thing with Leo. He said, Pastor, he said, the only thing that got me through 6 years as a POW at the Hanoi Hilton was my faith. Being saved, my faith. He said those were hard days. Hard days. By hard days, by him saying, first 3 years in solitary confinement with no other human being for 3 years in a little confined, tiny black cell. How's your faith? He said, I never would have made it, I don't think. I'd have died in that cell had it not been for my faith. So Paul says here, above all, you take the shield of faith. He says here, and then wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. As Satan throws these darts, you got to have faith. You got to have your faith get stronger. And how do you do that? By the Word of God. Memorizing Scripture. Learning the Bible. Growing your faith. Being under the preaching, teaching of the gospel. Preaching or teaching the gospel yourself as you share your faith with others. The faith. Your faith. How strong is your faith? Your faith is your shield. Don't drop your shield. And don't let it weaken. Notice then he says, secondly here, taking the helmet of salvation. As we know, all good Roman soldiers went into battle with a helmet and your salvation. To know that you're saved, take that helmet of salvation. And he says here, the most important thing is that you're saved. Most important decision you'll ever make is to get saved and to be born again. That's why I went back to the very beginning today, is to know that you're saved and you're born again. Do you know for sure? If you took your last breath right now, where you'd spend eternity? I hope it's in heaven. Pray it's in heaven. If not, you need to get saved today, right now, this very moment. Don't wait another moment. You need this for armor, taking the helmet of salvation. And then I love the last part of it here, the sword. He said the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need the Bible, the two-edged sword, and let that be your best friend. Let that be your best book. Let that be, you know, it's interesting. I've recently challenged myself. You know what? I'm going to not only read and study the Bible all the time, but I'm reading a book right now. It's called Good to Great. And you say, why would you read a book, Good to Great? The author is a Christian author. But what's really good in it is interesting is if you're not careful along in the journey of life, you say, well, how do you grow your faith? How do you get to the next step? How do you continue to elevate yourself and move to the next level? You're in a battle. You're in a warfare all the time. Satan is going to continually come after you. And so you got to have the Word of God here, and to be able to grow yourself and to be able to get stronger. When he knows you get stronger, when he knows your faith is strong, when he knows you're dedicated and you're not going to quit, he ups the ante and he'll find something else. So the evil day here, when it says here, which is the Word of God, and it says here, as it goes on talking about the evil day, since the fall of man, every day has been evil. If you really think about it, since the fall of man all the way back to the Garden of Eden has been evil, a condition that will persist until the Lord returns and establishes his own kingdom here on earth during the millennial reign of Christ, every time is going to get worse. Every generation is going to get worse. Is it going to get better from here? I don't know. You can put any politician you want in Washington, and our hope is not in the next politician. Our hope is not in the next election. Although I think we ought to be informed. I think we ought to look at the candidates. You ought to do your homework. And for sure, you ought to vote. Every Christian, every believer should vote, be concerned, and cast your vote. You have a freedom and a privilege in America to be able to do that. You need to do your homework and vote for who you think is the best candidate to lead this country. What do you base that on? Well, you got to look at the Bible. You got to look at the Word of God. You got to look at a lot of things. Say, who do I want as my leadership, both in Congress and the president and local officials or whatever? You have the opportunity to vote. We live in a free country. But when you look at it today, when you think about it, is the evil ever going to go away? No. Can it get worse from here? You better believe it can. But Paul said this, having done all to stand, in verse 13, you go back up there, stand therefore. So when you look at these verses here, having done all, the believers to take a firm position in this spiritual battle against Satan, and we're to confront Satan's efforts and that to distrust God, forsaking obedience and doctrinal confusion or falsehood or hindering service, and God bringing division, serving God in the flesh, be careful, living hypocritically, being worldly in any other way we would reject biblical obedience, the armor becomes our defense. Notice he says here in this verse, back in verse 14, or girded here, girt with the truth. A soldier wore a tunic or a loose-fitting clothing in ancient combat that was hand-to-hand, and so a belt was necessary to cinch up loosely hanging material, and the girding here was a matter of pulling up the loose ends in preparation for battle. So the belt that pulls all the spiritual ends is the truth and the truthfulness of the Word of God. Notice he talks about this breastplate of righteousness and was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather on the arm, that heavy material with the animal horn or hoof pieces sewn in, covering the soldier's full torso and protecting the heart and the other vital organs. Shod with the, notice that he says here in verse 15, the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore boots with nails in them to grip the ground in combat. So he says here, this gospel of peace pertains to the good news that through Christ, believers are at peace with God, and to know that no matter what the outcome, we are on God's side and He'll win the battle. It's that confidence and divine support that allows you and I to stand firm in knowing that we can be at peace with God and have His strength to be able to go through this battle. In verse 16, he talks about this shield of faith, this large shield that protects the body. You know what? That is really just a basic trust in God. Not trusting himself, but basically trusting God. And the believer's continual trust in the Word of God and the promise that He is above all, that no matter what you're facing, God will get you through it. No matter what you're facing, Kim, God will get you through it. No matter what Purnell's facing, God will get you through it. Betty, I see you here today. Terry, your daughter, she's having a tough bout right now and in the hospital, correct? God will somehow get you through it. And the best answer to all this is He'll either get you through it or take you on to heaven. So that's the ultimate reward, amen? And we look forward to that day that we'll be with Him. And this helmet of salvation, the helmet protects the head, a major target in battle. Paul is speaking to those already saved. Satan seeks to destroy a believer's assurance of salvation with his weapons of doubt and discouragement. How many Christians do I run into? They're either doubting something or they're discouraged along the way. That is an attack from Satan. And he'll come after you. And so putting on the helmet of salvation, a Christian's feelings about his salvation may be seriously damaged by Satan as he instills this doubt. His salvation itself is eternally protected, and we need not fear its loss. Satan's attacks are relentless. Satan wants to curse the believer with doubts, but the Christian can be strong in the promises of eternal security of knowing that He saved us and gave us eternal life. Notice it talks about this sword of the Spirit. As the sword was the soldier's only weapon, so God's Word is the only weapon you and I need, more powerful than anything that Satan has to offer. The Greek term refers to a small weapon, 6 to 18 inches long, but here it was used both defensively to fend off Satan's attacks and offensively to help destroy the army's the enemy strategies with that. And then he wraps this up. Notice in verse 18, this verse introduces the general character of our prayer life, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Prayer is the power and the supplication that focuses the believer on the strength of the armor. Paul does not ask for prayer for his own personal well-being later on in this chapter. And we find then he goes on to talk about some of the believers that he serves with. But the key is, have you armored up? Have you put on the whole armor of God? Take seriously these things that he gives, and to realize that the attacks are going to continue to come. Doubts may continue to come. Discouragements might continue to come. Whatever's going to get thrown at you, you have the ability to armor up, put these things on, and fight off whatever it is. This is for all believers and all walks of life to be able to fight. The Bible is very clear. Satan is powerful, more powerful than you and I, goes about the land to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, and you and I have a two-edged sword sharp enough to be able to fight and to combat that and to fight off the wiles of the devil. Don't let him win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for the power of Ephesians chapter 6. And God, may we put on the things that you've talked about here. May we protect ourselves with the helmet of salvation and with the shield and with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we take the weapons here that you've given to us and to realize that there really is a very serious battle going on. And Satan wants to destroy anything that God has designed or put in place. And that is one of the things is the believer, the Christian. And God, today we know that time and time again, he's going to come after us. He's going to come after the church. He's going to come after the country. He's going to come after anything that stands for the truth. So God, today we surrender to you afresh and anew. Put on the whole armor of God today. And God, today, if there's a believer here, if there's a Christian today that needs to reassess their armor, maybe their faith is not where it needs to be. Maybe they've not positioned themselves where they need to be. Maybe they've not have the right daily strategy they need to have. God, you've given us the strategy to fight off the doubts, to fight off the depression, to fight off the discouragement, to fight off whatever the darts are. God, we know these fiery darts are going to continue to come. Help us to be prepared, God, and surrender all to you. You've given us the plan here to put on the whole armor of God that will be victorious in our Christian living for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, the invitation simply is if you're here and you're not saved, we'd love for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you say, Pastor, I want to be saved, I'm not yet saved, and I don't yet believe, I have not yet confessed my faith in Christ, would you do that right now, whether you're sitting here in church or by way of live stream? Just ask Christ to come into your heart. Just simply pray this prayer to your Heavenly Father. Dear God, I recognize today that I'm a sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own. So God, today I confess my sin with my mouth, and I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ today for eternal life. God, today I desire to be saved, to be born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today. My friend, if you're here and you made that decision for Christ, I'd encourage you to make it public. Let somebody know that you've gotten saved. But if you're here today and you're not yet armored up like you should be, reevaluate your life, my friend. Put on the whole armor of God. I guarantee you, Satan is going to come after you in one way, shape, or form or another. It comes with all kinds of fiery darts, and you have the ability to fight it off according to Ephesians 6. As Brother Ron leads us in an invitation today, if you want to come to pray, I encourage you to come. If we can be of help to you, we encourage you to come.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were because you died and rose again. Amazing love. sing it together. I'm forgiven.
Coming today, Brandy, and
she. Go a fine girl. Oh, sorry. Every time I hear that, I think of that song.
Frazier, and coming today to unite with the church, and our children is Therese and Nathaniel, and Annette, and she says she's saved, knows the Lord, and has followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and so she comes back to. She grew up here and coming to church here, and that. So, but come back home to be here at First Baptist, and we're glad that she has. Want to welcome her back into the church membership here. If you're glad she's come, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give her a hand. Yeah, amen. All right. God bless you. We're glad that you're back here. And praise the Lord. Pastor Adam, come on, buddy. He's going to share a few things with us about VBS. It's camp, not VBS. Albert, is there anything we need to say today about, are you all set? Do you need to say anything today? Not today. All right. Brother Adam, go ahead, buddy.
So if I start coughing, I'm sorry. I've been kind of under the weather since I got back from camp, so hopefully I don't. But first off, I just want to say thank you to everyone that either donated money or gave bottles or went to the car wash, whatever you did. That stuff that you gave, that money that you gave, the impact that you had there, your prayers, whatever it may be, you had a direct impact on 9 different kids' lives. And I'm excited to tell you that 4 of them accepted Christ this week at camp. And yeah, go ahead. You can clap for that, for sure. Like Pastor Rick was talking about today about spiritual warfare. I'm not going to go into all the details, right? But I could tell before camp, during camp, there was a spiritual battle going on. Okay, you can ask Brother John about that. You could tell that the devil, he was trying to work, right? And one thing I want to tell you is that whenever you feel the devil pushing against you, whenever you feel like there's a spiritual battle, keep going forward because you're about to have that breakthrough. You're about to see something awesome happen in your life. And we were able to see those 4 kids come to know Christ this week. And I'll tell you a little bit about one of their stories. I had a chance to talk to one of them on Wednesday night. The day was pretty much over. We were all in the rec hall, and I sat down, and I talked to this kid for about an hour, right? And after we finished talking, she told me, she said, you know, I understand all of that, but I just don't think I'm ready to do that. And she gave me a list of reasons why she didn't want to accept Christ, right? Well, right after we had that conversation, I immediately prayed and I said, Lord, I know she understands, but I don't want you to give her peace. Don't let her sleep tonight. Don't give her peace until she accepts you. Keep pricking her heart. Keep working on her. And sorry, my voice, but on Friday, we went to Cedar Point, right? So 24 hours have passed. We're at Cedar Point, And we get off the first ride, and she walks over to me, and she says, "Hey, Adam, can I talk to you for a second?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. What's up?" She said, "You know what? I thought about everything that you talked about on Wednesday, and I want to accept Christ as my Savior." And honestly, I was shocked whenever she said that, because after we had that initial conversation, I didn't think she was going to accept Christ that soon. But God's always working, right? The devil works hard, but God works harder. And he wants to do that in each and every person's life. Like Pastor said, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, accept him. Because that's the most important decision that we will ever make in our life, is determining where we're going to spend eternity, right? And I want to thank all the counselors that we had. We had my wife, of course. We had Sue Van Osterhout that was there to help. We had Rachel Lynn. And we had Brother John Moore over there. He helped us out a lot. And I want to thank the kids for just their attitude that they had. We did not have one single issue at all during that week of camp. Everyone had a great attitude. I want to also tell the parents that are here that their kids did an awesome job of trying to bring other kids to Christ as well. One night, Brother John came to me and said, "Hey, there's a kid that I think he's about ready to get saved, right?" I walk into the dorm, and I'm walking to that kid's bunk to talk to him. And I'm bombarded by a couple of different boys that say, "Hey, this kid, he needs to get saved. We were talking to him. He wants to know Christ." And just seeing that urgency of them wanting to tell their friends, their urgency of them looking and seeing lost souls that are out there. And that's what it's all about, right? That's what Christianity is about. It's about us going and reaching those other people for Christ. So I just want to thank you. If you contributed by prayer, by giving money, whatever it was, you were a part of that. So thank you. And at this time, I'm going to have Brother John come up here. He's going to give a quick testimony real quick.
Quick. I'm not sure if I can be quick with a testimony, but like Brother Adam said, it was a great week at camp. And I will tell you some of the things devil was doing. I was supposed to speak Tuesday night at camp, and we went to Mackinac Tuesday during the day. On our way to Mackinac, we blew a tire in the van. Oh, yeah, it was a load of fun. We sat around for about an hour and a half, but God was in control. One, it was in a back tire, so the van didn't swerve all over the place. It just kind of, but also we were right at an exit where we could get off. There was a place for the kids to hang out for the hour and a half we were there. There was a bathroom there. There was a gas station there. They could go get a bite to eat. Whatever they needed to do, it was fine. Satan was working overtime. Trust me on this. He knew what we were getting ready to do. But like Brother Adam said, four got saved. Four kids' lives were changed forever. It was wonderful to see. And these kids want me to go to winter camp with them, and I'm not sure about that. So you're going to have to pray about that one. Right, Nick? So that's all I got to say. Pastor?
Yeah. I'll pray for 3 feet of snow and that John goes. So. All right, take time. There's a lot going on. Read the bulletin and things that are going on through there. But the most important thing this week is the five-day clubs, and there's a printout there. If you know anybody you want to help get plugged in on that, see Rachel Lynn McDonald. That'll start on Monday, runs Monday through Friday, and it was a great ministry last year, and we're praying for Rachel Lynn and the team that'll be doing that this year. Take time to read through everything else. Faith Bible Institute, August 15th, you're starting up. August 15th, so that's right around the corner. If you're interested in Faith Bible Institute, see Brother Albert and Teresa, and that. And as we said, there's read the other things that are going on in the bulletin. A lot going on, but enjoy your summer. And we'll ask Robin and Brandy and Roz, why don't y'all, let's stand together. Why don't y'all head back there so they can greet you, and we'll welcome them back to the church. Just we'll give them a minute to get over there. And good to see you in church today. And that, so if you will, services tonight at 6, and then pray for all the things that are going on here at the church or through the ministry here. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you, and God, we thank you for our teens going to camp this week, and we thank you for the four individuals that were born again, saved, and come to a realization they needed Christ as their Savior. God, we thank you for those decisions made. I know I was saved as a teenager, and it impacted my life forever. And so, God, I pray that the seed that has been sown will take root and they'll begin to grow. God, you'll keep these teenagers safe. We'll be able to see them grow in the Word of God. Just be with Pastor Adam and Haley and the helpers and John and those that help them, that they be able to influence them for the cause of Christ. God, we do pray for Terry Spitz of Chips today. Just have your hand upon her and the health and the challenges she's gone through. And God, just guide and direct in her life. Also with Pernell, God, just thank you that you're a prayer hearing and prayer answering God today. And as the great physician, we can depend and lean upon you for all things. Thank you today that we can put on the whole armor of God and to fight against the darts and the fiery darts of the wicked that Satan throws at us. And help us to be victorious in Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great afternoon. Good to see you in church.